Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Shankara Building Products Q3 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Miraj M. Shah from Arihant Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Sagar. Good afternoon and a very warm welcome to everyone to the Q3 FY24 earnings conference call of Shankara Building Products. Today from the management, we have Mr. C. Ravikumar, Executive Director, Mr. Alex Varghese, CFO, Mr. Dhananjay Mirale, Vice President, and Mr. Giridhar Parthasarathy, Manager Finance. So without further ado, I'll hand over the floor to Giridhar sir for his opening remarks. Thank you.
Good afternoon and a very warm welcome to the Shankara Building Products Limited earnings conference call for the quarter and 9 months ended 31st December 2023. Joining me today are Mr. C. Ravikumar, our Executive Director, Mr. Alex Varghese, our CFO, and Mr. Giridhar Parthasarathy, our Manager Finance. I am Mr. Dhananjay Mirale, Vice President. Before we begin, I would like to remind everyone that this call may contain forward-looking statements which are predictions, projections, and other estimates about future events. These statements are based on management's current expectations and involve risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially. Our presentation for this call has been uploaded to the exchange. I hope you have all had the opportunity to review it. The third quarter of this fiscal year presented challenges for the building materials industry, with customer decisions influenced by rising inflation and higher interest costs. Additionally, territories such as Chennai and coastal Andhra Pradesh experienced flooding, temporarily impacting our operations there. Despite these challenges, we are pleased to announce a 22% year-on-year revenue growth for the first 9 months of the fiscal year 2024. Particularly encouraging is the growth of our non-steel revenues, which have increased by nearly 35% year-on-year. This growth is attributed to our proactive strategy of strengthening our value-added product portfolio. In line with our strategic objectives, we are in the process of demerging our building materials marketplace, which has consistently delivered significant value. This move will streamline our business structure, enabling a more focused capital allocation strategy and a heightened emphasis on value-added revenues under our new generation management. We have provided an indicative split of our revenues for our marketplace and manufacturing business, standing at rupees 2,775 crore and rupees 677 crore, respectively, for the 9-month period. The marketplace business is poised for higher margin accretion and enhanced return indicators, while the manufacturing business will benefit from a focused management team responsible to turn around and optimize operational efficiency and competitiveness. Ultimately, our goal is to unlock substantial value for all stakeholders in the months and years ahead. Our demerger scheme has been approved by our board and now submitted to the stock exchanges for approval, and we believe the same would be implemented in the next 10-12 months. Since its inception in 1995, Shankara has undergone a remarkable transformation and emerging as a comprehensive omnichannel marketplace catering to diverse building material needs. From steel products to an extensive range, including plumbing, sanitaryware, tiles, electrical, paints, and more, we now boast over 100,000 SKUs in various categories and brands. Our EBITDA margins for the quarter reached 3.4%, and our EBITDA for the quarter was rupees 40 crore, up by 23% year-on-year, while for the 9 months, it was rupees 111 crore, up by 25% year-on-year. Our net profit increased to rupees 21 crore for the quarter, plus up 31% year-on-year and rupees 57 crore for the 9-month period plus 30% year-on-year. This improvement is primarily from our intensified emphasis on non-shield ventures, which experienced a remarkable 43% year-on-year growth. During the quarter, our strategic measures towards growing our value-added steel segment and non-steel products. Our share of non-steel has gone up 11% of our revenues in this quarter from 9% in the previous quarter. We have taken few key initiatives to drive the expansion of value-added products. First being our private label Porsche Ceramica, designed to meet diverse customer requirements within the tile segment. After seeing good successes in Kerala, we are now present across Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, Maharashtra and other southern regions. We are setting up an experience center in Morbi, which will enable us a pan-India expansion for Porsche Ceramica in the coming years. We believe Porsche Ceramica can play a pivotal role in our non-steel growth journey in the coming years. Our revenues in the tile segment have grown by almost 40% in the 9 months of FY24, while our sanitary revenues have up by 40% year-on-year. We are also committed to grow our electricals and paint vertical in the coming quarters and continuously looking for opportunities in new verticals in the building materials segment. As we pursue these objectives, our analysis indicates that EBITDA margins for our marketplace business are anticipated to range from 3.5 to 4% by FY2025. Our long-term target continues to grow our top line while prioritizing higher margin endeavors. As we have always maintained, we continue to see a significant growth potential in the southern market by leveraging our strong distribution, reach and brand positioning in this market. Whereas we have made significant inroads over these past few quarters outside the southern market. We are happy to share some exciting metrics. We have gradually expanded our footprints in the western and central region, and I am happy to share that the western region has started contributing to almost 10% plus of our revenues and grown by almost 50% year on year. The central region has contributed to almost 3% of our revenues, and we are in the process of opening two new fulfillment centers, one in Maharashtra and the other one in Madhya Pradesh, in the coming months. We expect further improvement in these numbers in the coming quarters and years. Given our established presence in the south, our endeavor is to continue our cluster-based growth approach and strengthen our penetration in southern regions while expanding to other regions. Our balance sheet continues to remain capital efficient, with our asset-light model for store expansion and efficient working capital management measures working. We are continuously working towards maintaining and strengthening our relationship with our key suppliers, ensuring adequate credit availability. We are working towards building a robust supply chain that enables efficient and faster delivery, optimizing our inventory levels. These efforts collectively contribute to our successful working capital management, which continues to stand at around 30 days. As we navigate through this strategic transition, Shankara remains committed to driving growth and innovation across all fronts. With a renewed focus on our core strengths and strategic initiatives, we aim to solidify our presence in the building materials sector. We remain committed to leveraging our digital presence and actively exploring opportunities to innovate in the digital space to augment our existing omni-channel strategy. With this, I would now hand over the call to the moderator for a Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets only while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sarang Joshi from Entrust Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Rohit from Entrust Family Office. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. I wanted to check on the margin improvement this year. I think if I look at the 9-month numbers, it seems to have come substantially from your non-retail business. I'm referring to slide 9 here, where I think margins at a segmental level have moved from 1.1 to 1.8%. The question is, what has driven this margin improvement and what are sort of steady state margins here in the non-retail piece as we go forward over the next couple of years?
Hello, thank you. So we have seen good growth in this as we have a more focus into the manufacturing, as we have said in the demerger as well. So I think the more focused team and the optimizing of operational efficiency has helped us grow these margins. We are looking at the EBITDA over here to remain between 1.5 to 2%.
Okay, and can I also check if this has anything to do with sort of mix change within your steel business or the fact that steel prices have come up a bit over the last year or so? Is that also
this would be a mix of the steel business, so more focus on non-tubular products like roofing sheets and longs has also helped us.
Sure. My next question is, when I look at your retail segment, you know, again referring to the same slide, there it seems as though your YTD margins have dropped 20 basis points, now at 5.4% for 9 months FY24. And, you know, just before, if I go, just prior to the pandemic, we were at 8 to 9% kind of margins, right? So really the question is, what explains this state for the last 2 years? And as a follow-up, you know, why aren't retail margins improving? If your channel, if your non-retail margin range of this, for example, by 80 basis points, why are retail margins, where also steel is a substantial portion, why aren't we seeing margin improvement there? And this is despite the fact that the non-steel business captured within retail is actually growing 35 to 40% with a much higher EBITDA margin. That's a bit counterintuitive.
So I think in the last quarter, one of the impact has been the flooding in Chennai and Andhra coastal regions, which has impacted our retail business both in steel and non-steel. So I think that would be one of the main reasons why we have faced the impact in the margins.
But shouldn't that be impacting your, your sales are still growing at a healthy pace. You're still selling, your offtakes are happening, just that margins are getting impacted.
So I think it would be also because of the higher cost, since our operations were closed there for almost a few weeks. So I think those higher costs coming in has impacted the margin, even though the numbers have been good.
Okay. And my last question is, could you give us a sense of what is the growth in steel tonnage for Shankara as a whole, say since FY19 till now, right? Over the last 3 years, how much is the absolute tonnage of steel you've sold? I ask this question because when I look at your retail sales per store, between pre-COVID and now, that has gone up like 40-45%. But, you know, but frankly, I mean, steel prices have also grown up so much, right? So does it mean that the implied volume growth in tonnage is substantially lower than the headline sales growth number?
Just give me a second, I'll just get you those numbers.
Sure.
In FY19, we did around 5 lakh tons we did. So followed in the COVID year, it has dropped to 3,42,000 tons. And in 21-22, around 3 lakh tons we did, and 22-23, we crossed around 5 lakh 15. And as on end of November, we are already at approximately 4.5+ tons we did.
Okay, so my understanding there was right. So I mean, probably on a trailing 12-month basis, we are closer to how much volume we did during pre-COVID times. So the bulk of the sales growth then is explained by the realization growth which has happened. And is that understanding correct on the steel side?
Yeah, which is right.
Because yeah, it's been the realization growth. And also, as you see, this year we've already come to almost 4.5 lakh tons. So there will be a good growth in the next quarter as well to give us the better numbers than last year's tonnage.
Understood. And just as a follow-up there, so do you look at the profitability and your steel business on a per kg basis? So for example, do you target a certain EBITDA per kg irrespective of how the underlying steel price moves? Because if it would explain to some extent the margin erosion and now margin starting to recoup as steel prices come off.
No, so the dynamics for the steel products are very different because inside steel products portfolio itself, you have a huge variety of products. So in each case and in each vertical, the metrics will be a little different.
All right, I'll come back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Mukesh Bajaj from SmartSync Investment Advisory Services. Please go ahead.
So firstly, congratulations on a decent set of results. So as things stand currently, majority of our growth in the past few years, in fact, is coming from increasing ticket size. So is this likely to continue going forward as the product mix is shifting towards non-steel products like tiles? Or how should we look at this? Because as the previous participant explained that the steel prices have been quite volatile, which have also led to higher ticket size in the current year.
We would see an increase in the retail ticket sizes with new product addition and focus on more non-steel mixes and a mix in the non-tubular steel products. So we will see a continuing growth in this.
Got it, sir. And sir, as you mentioned that we are making strong footprints in western and central regions. So are the current facilities matured in nature or there is enough room for same-source sales growth to be there in that current facilities? Or so what will be the storefront facility strategy going forward?
No, so our current facilities are set up. There is a considerable scope of improvement even in there. So like we have made a commentary before also, it is close to part of our existing setup, which has the capability of, you know, doubling the turnover in the next 4 to 5 years.
Okay, sir. And sir, while I was analyzing the company, I observed that our inventory cycle has reduced substantially in the past 3 to 4 years. So can you please highlight the 3 to 4 key drivers behind this? Like, was it because of some change in product mix or improved inventory management, or what led to that basically?
So there are a few reasons for this. One would be also our, let's say, a good management from our side in terms of inventory cycles post-COVID. We'll also say that manufacturing has reduced, so that we are working on that, and we're also working towards a more asset-light model in the key products we can. So increasing of a non-tubular mix also works to be a little more asset-light and inventory-light. So all of this has contributed to a better working capital cycle.
Got it, sir. And sir, if I can just squeeze in another question, I just wanted to understand that how does our B2B marketplace stack up versus the likes of IndiaMart on the online side, SG Mart on the physical fulfillment side, since their product offering looks pretty similar to ours?
No, they are more at the distributor end. We are more at the retail end.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. In order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, I would request all the participants to restrict your questions to 2 per participant. If you have any follow-up questions, you can rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of KD Mishra from New Jersey Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Mr. Mishra, your line is unmuted. You can ask your question. As there is no response from the line of current participant, we will take the next question from the line of Ronak Hemat Ramka from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yes, sir, just want to understand the thing that in the retail stores, it is like too much congested. So how do we see, like we are saying we will grow 25 to 30%. So how do we do it? Like we will place more product in the retail stores than it is already congested. So how will we going to do that?
We believe there's still a lot of scope in the retail market. Yes, there are a few multiple players, but I think there's still a lot of headroom to grow in each vertical and each industry. And we are seeing a strong growth from our existing stores. So I think we feel there is a lot of headway for the growth in the retail.
So you are confident of doing 25% kind of growth levels?
Yeah, so we are confident because we are also adding in new products, whether it's in the steel or the non-steel verticals, and we are taking more of a market share from maybe existing mom and pop players in the market. So we do feel that even though, as you said, maybe a congested retail space, we do have growth and space for growth.
Okay, so do you have any numbers of like how much market share do we have currently?
Difficult to
get
that. No, that would be difficult to give that number.
Yeah, okay, no issue. And one more thing on the margin side, like we are saying we would do 3.5% to 4% kind of margin in the marketplace business. So how confident are we on that part? Like it would be kind of sustainable or it depends on the steel prices too?
No, we are pretty confident on that. Like we have said before in the commentary also, we are working on to improve the margin profile of the products. So 3.5 to 4% range is definitely attainable. This is the product mix. Over a range of product mix.
So one more last question if I can accommodate. So can you just give us the brief timeline of the demerger, like till when we can expect the all process to be completed?
Yeah, so we have filed with the stock exchanges as of now. So to simply put, we have updated this in our presentation also, but I'll just give you a quick brief. So after this, we will be in line for an NOC from the stock exchanges, and then we have to do the necessary filings and procedures with the NCLT. General timeline for NCLT to give the approval is around 8 to 10 months. So we are expecting to get this whole process done by fag end of this year, or it may go to say early next year or something.
Okay, got it, sir.
In calendar year.
The calendar year, not the financial.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Agarwal from ASAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. So congratulations for a great set of numbers.
Thank you.
I wanted to know a little bit more about our plan for scale-up of non-steel business. Currently, we have done really well in the tiles, and from what I understand, it has been introduced in only a certain part of the country. So could you talk a little bit about how our expansion plans are for the non-steel business side in the coming years?
So as we have said, we have two, three opportunities and plans for the growth of the non-steel business. We have, as you said, seen a 40% growth in our sanitaryware and a 40% growth in the 9 months for our tiles as well. In tiles, our private label, Fosha Ceramica, is yielding us good results. As of after having good, we can say, a market presence and good success in the market of Kerala the last financial year, we have expanded to other southern markets as well as Maharashtra. We are opening maybe by the end of February, early March, an experience center in Morbi, almost a 20,000 square feet experience center, which will also cater and allow us to look at pan-India expansion in the coming years. Whereas when we say in our retail business, in our stores, we are increasing our product mixes since we will be focusing more on electricals and paints in the coming years, so that we would see a good growth coming from those verticals while sustaining our growth in the CP sanitary and tiles space. We also have a lot more growth in certain markets since we have only a limited presence in Tamil Nadu and Kerala, being in only certain locations. And we are looking at vertical-wise growth, and we have a huge headway in each vertical because, as you know, all the verticals have a lot more headway, and we have, in the last 1 year, set up good vertical heads who are experienced members from the industry who can help us drive in a vertical-wise across all our channels.
And so what we have achieved in tiles in a very short period is quite commendable. So are there plans to enter any, you know, more large segments in our own brands?
Nothing as of now. We're just focusing on tiles in our private label. We also have roofing sheets with our own in-house brand. I think there are always opportunities, but as of now, we are focused on the great brands we are associated with for the other verticals.
Okay. Great, sir. Sir, I mean, in the last few con calls, you have guided that we are pausing our store growth at the moment. When do you think will we go back onto the store expansion side?
We never said we won't be expanding stores. We are seeing good traction in the store growth, but in the coming year and the years ahead, we are looking to open maybe 2 to 3 stores per year in new territories and strategic opportunities as well.
Okay. Great. Thanks a lot, sir. I'll come
back.
Thank
you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jagveer Singh from Shade Capital. Please go ahead.
My question is, what is the like-to-like growth in the Q3 in the Buildco business?
Sorry, can you repeat your question? It was not clear.
What is the like-to-like growth in the Buildco business in the Q3?
You mean our non-steel business?
Yes.
We've had around a 42% growth.
Okay. And sir, in the demerged entity, so this question is related to the Buildco business. So what are the margins in the last 3 months, last quarter, December quarter?
So we've classified our business as the marketplace business, and it would be the manufacturing. In the marketplace business, in the last quarter, we have seen what we've seen, an EBITDA margin of between 3.3 to 3.4.
Okay, sir. And in the Buildco business, we have done 9 months revenue of around 2,800 crores.
We don't understand. What do you mean by Buildco business?
So this is a demerger entity. This is a slide number 14.
Okay, I understood. You're talking about the marketplace, yes. So in the last revenue has been 2,775 crores. In the last,
what is the guidance for the FY25 for this business?
Currently, it's discussed to give a guidance as a standalone. We will give you the consolidated.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vince Varghese from Tavasya Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, 1 second. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
I'm trying to understand the macro environment. You know, if I look at building material players, sales growth for the past few quarters, you know, it's been muted, like 6-7% only. So be it tiles, ceramics, paints, they are all showing same numbers. On the other hand, if you see the real estate players, in the especially the tier 1 and tier 2 player across the board, they are showing actually robust booking. So is there a lag effect for these building material players, and when do you think this number may start reflecting in the P&L?
Yes, I do believe. I think post-COVID there was a hyped up demand which has kind of steadied out this year. So, and as you said, a lot of projects which started pre-COVID and during COVID are at the finishing stages now. But COVID has impacted the start of new projects, which we have seen a good beginning base and foundation in this last 9 months. I believe that it is a lag, and I think coming forward there should be a better growth in the coming quarters and years. We have still been able to have a good growth because we've been increasing our market share, and because of the number of verticals we're in, we are able to offset maybe vertical-wise hits that are coming in the industry.
And your partners are also growing at the same pace? I mean, if I just wanted to know.
I would not say. I mean, we really don't have much. I mean, our partners as in our suppliers are seeing, I think, various levels of growth because different companies are in, again, different stages of growth and different stages of market share. But big players have seen, I think, at least double-digit growth this year.
So you mean to say it's just a matter of time before, you know, the numbers will start showing in the P&L?
Yes, I do believe the numbers will start showing in the matter of time.
Yeah, and one more question. I mean, I'm seeing for the past many quarters, promoter shareholding is, consistently decreasing by 1 or 2%. So just want to know the reason behind that.
Actually, except for the one deal with APL, there has been no other sell. Actually, we have acquired more share as a promoter group.
At a percentage level, it is showing a little decrement because of the APL subscribed to its share warrants. Overall, the promoter stake has not decreased.
So APL is the only reason. Otherwise, there is no offloading from apart from that.
No, nothing.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. So, just first up, I wanted to understand, I mean, at the company consolidated level, in the past, we have been speaking about 25-30% CAGR over the next 3-4 years. So, that's what we currently as well looking at?
We would be looking to grow around, at an EBITDA level, or the overall EBITDA level, growth we would be focusing on. So offline, we will assess and come back to you on that.
Okay, so top line can be moderate then. So what would be the revised range that we can look at over the next 3-4 years?
See, annually we are looking at to grow at 25%, and we are expecting that to reflect in our EBITDA level.
Can you just repeat your voice cracked?
Annually, we are looking at to grow at 20 to 25% range, and we are expecting that to reflect at our EBITDA level also. EBITDA, total EBITDA.
So EBITDA also similar 20-25% range.
Yes.
Growth. And when we say 20-25%, so these two different entity, how would you see these two different entity growing, the marketplace as well as the manufacturing unit? How would the CAGR work for these two entity?
No, considerable amount of working is still going on that, so we don't want to make any commentary on it.
We don't want to make, but ideally it would be fair to say that your manufacturing, the smaller piece will grow at a faster rate?
Yes, it can.
It can, right? Because it's a smaller scale business.
And we came out with the deck and everything else. We are also working on the exact numbers before we could give you, I think, a clear picture on the two entities in terms of growth.
Fair enough. I got it. And in terms of manufacturing unit, what can be the potential in terms of margin? I mean, once we become steady state and scale that particular business, so would you be able to throw some light on that?
No. See, currently, basis of deck, what we have given, we would like to stick to it. Going ahead, we'll assess and see how it pans out.
Okay. Fair enough. I think that's it from my side. All the very best to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Sarang Joshi from Entrust Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks. Thanks for the opportunity again. A few questions. On your tonnage growth, which we discussed earlier on the call, so now basically we've done about 5 lakh tons point to point if I go back pre-COVID and, you know, where we are today, ballpark. And obviously now because volumes have completely normalized, I presume volumes would grow from these days, right? At some point they will become 6.5, 7, 7.5, they'd probably double at some point in time. Now your store base has come down from 30-odd stores to 90-odd stores. So the tonnage sold per store is already probably hitting a peak. So I fail to understand how without adding stores aggressively, you can sustain your 20-25% growth target, which I presume bakes in a substantial share of volume growth, right? Because we don't know what steel prices do over the coming year.
So I don't believe that we've hit the peak tonnage in all our stores. There is huge infrastructure growth happening around. And as you know, steel is an ever-green commodity which is always required for construction. We believe that tonnage can grow in the coming years without additional stores. But apart from that, our channel enterprise is also growing. So we do feel that the different verticals and different channels will give us the tonnage growth from the same fulfillment centers.
Yeah, I mean, so, I mean, really my concern is that, if you look at really as investors, what we prize is your retail business, right, which is higher margin, which does 5% with capital efficiency, higher ROC. Your channel business, we all know that margins are about 1-1.5%, very volatile. Now, to add to that, your share of retail sort of revenues, you know, FY12, FY13, these used to be 20%. In annual report, you all spoke about this being the price asset and taking it substantially. This went up to about 58% until FY21. But last 2-3 years, I've seen that your retail share has started to drop, which means that a lot of your volume growth has been driven through the non-retail business, which is lower margin and obviously lower ROCE. So where does this settle over the next 3-4 years? You know, because longer term, we would want to increase our retail share, right?
So how would it be? I think after the way, post-COVID, the way the markets were, there was an immediate requirement in the channels. I think it would settle at 55% retail and 45% for the other channels. Saying that, also with our additional of 1 or 2 stores or 2 to 3 stores every year and then 2 new fulfillment centers coming up in MP and Maharashtra, we can see this growth coming up even in the retail line and not just in channels. And also, as we know, the non-steel coming up will also improve our tonnages of maybe TMT and other longs.
Sure. And the last bit is, on the steel margins, I wanted to just double check. My calculation suggests that, you know, because you are currently, your bulk of your non-steel business is basically being channeled through the retail piece, if I look at slide 9, right? And if that is correct, and if non-steel makes 5.5% EBITDA margin, my calculation implies that the steel business which is sold through the retail segment is not actually a low margin. It actually does 5-ish percentage margin, right? So then what explains the margin difference between steel sold within the retail segment, which is 5%, and steel sold within the non-retail segment, which is like 1.5-2%?
So as you know, in channels, I mean, the margins are very less. And since it is still 45% mix, it does impact it. Yes, as you said, in retail, the steel margins are better, maybe closer to maybe around 4%. But what happens is the non-steel margins are better, but since we are still in a baby stage of this and we're growing, our expenses are higher, which is impacting the overall margins at the retail level.
But could you just please, for everyone's benefit, explain us why steel sold to the retail store would be 4% margin and steel sold through your chaplain enterprise would make a 1.5% margin.
Breaking. So could you please repeat the last statement once again?
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Sorry. Could you explain for everyone's benefit, because this is an issue I have seen when I discuss with other investors also, why the steel business sold retail mix a 4.5% margin, whereas steel sold through non-retail makes a 1.5% margin? Is it because type of buyer within the two segments is very different and, you know, your negotiating power is very different?
So I would say in the channel enterprise, the product mix is very tube heavy, and as well as it is very competitive, so the margins are very low in that side. Whereas in retail, since there's more of longs and more of other mix of steel products, the margin profile is better.
Understood. Got it. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. All the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask questions, you may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of KD Mishra from New Jersey Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, my line was muted last time. So, sir, you are saying that you are mostly focused in Southern India and you want to be a pan-India player, and there is a very good opportunity in the Northern markets. So, wanted to know, I mean, is there any kind of a timeline, checkpoints that you have set in the future? By when do you see how many number of stores you are going to add in the Northern markets and other markets?
So currently, as we said, we are strong in Southern markets. We still see a lot of opportunity for growth in the South markets. That being said, we have made inroads in Central and Western India as well. I think we are focused on those two markets currently and hoping to see double the revenue growth in those markets in the next 4 to 5 years. I think after that, we could look at expanding into Northern markets, but I think we are taking it as a gradual expansion, trying to cover the markets as we work our way up.
Okay. And, sir, thank you. And one thing more regarding the omni-channel mix. So can you give the split between the online and the offline sales?
So in online, currently we are more of an experience or a digital catalog. We are working to change UI and experience online, which we will see some results in the coming quarters. Currently, the online, as you know, in this industry is very limited because it's a touch and feel product. So I think it's very negligible to give you exact numbers right now, but we will come back to you with better numbers in the future.
Okay, and in the traditional manufacturing division, you have three units, Vishal Steel, Century Wheels, and Taurus Steel. So any plans to add any more units in that?
Nothing in the current scope. We are looking to increase our optimization and increase our production and efficiency. So I think we'll see growth from the three units without really having a need to add any. And in the future, after the demerger and once we focus on it, we could see a scope. But as of now, there is no plans to add any new units.
Sir, if I could squeeze in more regarding the manufacturing of a Fotia Ceramica, so what are the contribution margins here?
We are in the gross margins of around 12 to 15%, and since we are still very nascent in this business, the expenses are higher. We should see a better realization of EBITDA in the coming years ahead in the Fotia Ceramica.
So this is including the COGS, is including the fuel costs?
Yes, this is including all the costs.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all from me.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gunit Singh from Counter Cycling Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. So I just would like to understand why are we... Earlier, I mean, we were talking about 25 to 30% CAGR, but now you mentioned that we're looking at 20 to 25% CAGR in revenues. Even though, like you mentioned, the steel and retail business, the steel and real estate is picking up and there are more upcoming projects. And also with the demerger, there will be more focus on both the verticals. So, I mean, why are we looking at a slower pace of growth as compared to what we spoke about earlier?
So I think you could attribute it's not too much lower. I think it's only around 5% discrete, but we're looking at overall focusing more on our bottom line as well and increasing our margins with the verticals. So I think the focus between both of these would still give a 20 to 25% CAGR with a better margin profile.
Alright, so if we're looking at 20-25% CAGR in revenues and we're talking about better margins going forward, so should we be looking at like 30-35% growth in the EBITDA?
Our aspiration would be 25-30% growth in the EBITDA.
Alright. And just previously, in the earlier con calls, we had spoken about reaching 10,000 CR revenues by FY 2027-28. So, I mean, what are your opinions of that as of today?
I think with the two, with the demerger and the two entities getting split, we may reach it at a consolidated level, but I think we'll have to get back to you on those workings because, as I said, we're very new into the demerger and we're still working out all the exact numbers and the spread of the two companies.
All right. And sir, 20 to 25% growth in revenue. So, I mean, what vertical do we expect to grow faster in the coming years?
We would maintain that we would still look at a 40% growth for the non-steel vertical, whereas steel would still continue to grow at the 20%. So, I think when you take it at the consolidated level, it will come to that 20 to 25. But you could see a more, a higher growth focus and a higher percentage growth focus in the non-steel business.
Alright. So I was talking about the two entities, after demerger. So what kind of, which entity do we expect to grow faster between the two, manufacturing or marketplace?
I think we would see growth in both of them. I think we need to work out the exact numbers to see how much we could get growth from our manufacturing businesses, since now they have a separate focus for them. But overall, I think we would see a good growth on both sides, with the maximum growth coming from the non-steel.
All right. That's all from my side. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Suryansh from BizX Enterprise LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question was that on the retail front, that in terms of like if we want to acquire, do we have the capabilities of the store which we want to acquire in the market, like in terms of acquisition, not like we have to build or operate? That is my question.
We are really not looking at any acquisitions at the time being. I think we have a good model and a good system in place. And we are looking at an asset-light increase of stores where we are more in rental places and growing from there. So I don't really see a lot of acquisitions in plan, but as you say, if there's any need and if there's any strategic opportunities, we are not averse to anything.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Anupam Jain, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the question. I just want to understand on the manufacturing front, you have written there is a 409 crore of capital employed. Can you bifurcate this?
So we are working on that. We'll get back to you on that.
Because as I was looking, it's showing me that you have fixed assets of 287 crores in your balance sheet of September.
Yeah.
So I couldn't match the calculation. If you can give me that calculation.
See, the capital employed is 785. You are asking a bifurcation of 409 or what? Building material marketplace is around 375 and manufacturing will be around 409. This is based on the September balance sheet numbers.
Yeah, so can you give me the bifurcation of 409 crore? What is in the manufacturing?
So manufacturing, the net block of around 235 crores is there. And net working capital approximately around 80 crores is there.
So we have fixed assets of 287 crores.
Yeah.
And we have 235 working capital of 81 crore rupees.
Correct.
And net blocks, net blocks is 285. Okay, thank you. And another thing that I had was, what would be the focus of on manufacturing after we demerge or starting now? What would be the focus? So anyhow, capacity utilization is very less over ROCs. Everything is on manufacturing. We have completely ignored the space as we are building marketplace. Would we cross sell? Would Shankara use this manufacturing currently?
So we're looking at, as now we're not utilizing our complete capacities of manufacturing. So we're looking at better utilizing our capacities. Also, with more operational and focused efficiencies, we would see a better increase and utilization. So we would see, I think that would be the plan with the demerged entity and with the manufacturing.
So we would cross sell between marketplace and manufacturing. So we will in-house some of our manufacturing. That's what I'm asking.
Sorry, I'm not able to hear the question.
I asked, will we manufacture some parts for the marketplace in our manufacturing facility?
Yes, that would continue. I think we would, as you know, we would require some products that sell from our manufacturing or retail. That would continue. But a manufacturing entity would also be independent and be selling in the market as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anirban Das, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
So it's based on slide number 10 of the presentation. So my first question is, since retail is a focus area and in the longer term, we would like a typical customer to visit.
Sorry, your voice is getting cut.
Mr. Das, your line is...
My question is, since retail is a focus area for us and in the longer term, we would like the retail customer to visit our store multiple times, based on the life cycle of the construction, right?
Yeah.
So my question is, are we tracking and seeing any increase in repeat customers, retail customers?
Yes, we do have a good host of repeat customers who come in for various stages of construction, starting from TMT and ending with maybe paints and tubes. So yes, we are seeing references, we are seeing increased of customers coming back, same customers returning to our stores. We will be having a better track and I can get back to you on the numbers to that.
Okay, thank you. And my second question is related. So in the same slide, we can see like 14% increase in the average ticket size for retail transaction, right? So from 43 to 49,000, the ticket size has increased, right?
Yeah.
So my question is it driven by like they are buying higher value products or is it like part of transaction they are buying more items or it's like a mix of two?
I think it's a mix of both. I think customers are buying more maybe higher value ticket size items as well as coming to us for more verticals. So obviously we're seeing a higher value in the ticket size and a more growth in the ticket size.
Okay. I mean, my questions were, I mean, to understand how, you know, we can increase our retail, you know, business. So I wanted to understand what this, how these drivers are being tracked and, you know, currently what is the status.
So,
thank
I
you.
Mean,
this is
what you asked. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Miraj M. Shah from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, wanted to understand on the traditional manufacturing division that we have, the where we have three units, so Vishal Steel and Taurus Steel and Century Wells. So you mentioned that the current utilization is only 40%. So what do we aim to take this to post the division of the two entities and by how fast can we ramp this up? Because I believe demand is present. So just want to understand how fast can we ramp it up?
So one is we're looking in the next 3 to 4 years to come to our maximum capital utilization of the capacity. And there is a demand in the market as, I mean, we have huge headways in all verticals to grow. So I don't see any impact in the demand side.
So 3 to 4 years is what you're saying to ramp it up to 100% or yes. The optimum utilization?
Yes. We're looking at 3 to 4 years to ramp up to optimize.
And the sale of products from the these entities would be through our own channels or to project businesses or to both?
There would be partly through our own channels, very limited. Most of it would be direct to parties and direct to other customers.
Understood. And I just wanted to understand one more thing, that looking at the presentation, how we are penetrated extremely in the southern markets and we've started in the center and western markets, wanted to just understand the thought process. When do we choose to enter a new market? Is it when we feel the existing territories are saturated? Or, you know, when the opportunities in other markets are significantly justifiable to enter. Just wanted to understand the thought process, basic thought process over here.
I think it would be a mix of both. I think it's more of as we seed new markets with opportunities, we always seed with our steel business because that is our legacy business and that's what we start off with. So I think as opportunities present themselves, we would expand to markets. And we still see there's a lot of potential left in the south. So I think it's more of opportunities rather than lack of growth opportunity in existing markets.
Understood. Okay. And sir, just to reconfirm this, you've mentioned that we plan to open 2 to 3 retail stores going ahead per year, right?
Yes. 2 to 3 fulfillment centers per year.
So that would be in the new region. So that is central and western or southern?
Not necessarily. I think it would be wherever we see the opportunity. So maybe you could see a 50-50 split between the two regions.
Understood. Okay. All the best, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Miraj M. Shah for closing comments.
I thank you everyone for being present on the call today and big thanks to the management as well. I hand over the call to Dhananjay sir for any closing remarks.
Thank you everyone for taking time out of your busy Wednesday afternoon to attend this call with us. We hope we're able to answer all your questions and you have a great rest of the day. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Shankara Building Products, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.